This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
And I'm asking you, as members of World Changers, I'm asking you as a part of the World Changers Nation, I'm asking members and partners everywhere, and you know people that are part of us, settle your disagreement. Settle the disagreement. Don't let the disagreement go on. Do you understand? The devil loves riding the wave of unsettled disagreements.
Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app brings you live church services direct to your smart TV and much more. You'll also get access to Changing Your World Network, streaming grace messages and exclusive content 24 hours a day right in the app. Get unlimited streaming through Roku, Amazon, and Apple TV absolutely free. Visit your app store. Download the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app now to start streaming. For more information, visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
You've got to move from the deadlock to the dialogue. You've got to move from the silent treatment to communication. Okay? So this could always, of course, somebody says, well, now we're talking again. And when you're doing that, it does have the potential for more conflict. But good people with good motives who know Christ need to talk. Good people with good motives who know Christ need to talk. Well, I don't want to hear this. I want to talk about the third degree of prayer. No, you need to learn how to get along. The issue with the church right now is we're getting so deep and we're ignoring the obvious. What's the obvious? We don't like each other no more. I'm trying to show you how to get along when you come to church. How is it? I mean, the church should be buzzing with the glory of God. It should be a place where when people walk in, they feel the unity and the love. And it's not like that. We've exchanged the unity and the love for image building. And we've got to learn how to be a good, authentic Christian that just make our mind up that, you know, you're not treating me right, you're ignoring me, you're doing all kinds of things, but I will follow this love commandment, and I will agape you no matter how you treat me, because God knows that my agape towards you is going to keep this relationship going. And I can't tell you the number of Christians. This is what I'm seeing everywhere. People are showing up like it's a show and don't even like each other and be talking about. You used to at least wait till after the benediction before you start talking about somebody, but you'd be right there in church with somebody. She thinks she cute. That. All right, now look. So the key is we've got to start talking. You got to learn how to talk. How? Let me just, this is huge. So when I decide to break that whole silent treatment deal, when I decide to, you know, get out of deadlock into to a dialogue, first things first, head first for common ground. The first thing you talk about, not the fighting ground, the common ground. We're going to start talking. We're going to talk about common ground stuff, not the fighting ground stuff. We're not going to start off right away. We start talking, and the first thing you say is, you know you was wrong. That's not how you started off. Start with common ground. Here's what I know. We've been friends for a long time, and I'm not willing to let anything destroy that. Yeah, me too. And you know I love you. Me too. Start with common ground. Not fighting ground. So sometimes to maintain the relationship, this is so true. It's true in marriage. It's true in any relationship. To maintain the relationship, you've got to just learn how to disagree agreeably. Some things in a relationship, you know,
you know, I'm a Republican, here's my view. I'm a Democrat, here's my view. And the views conflict. You just got to learn how to disagree agreeably and keep going on and being friends, because that should not be the reason why that friendship stopped. The relationship, people must agree to disagree about their particular areas of disagreements and learn to work around things you cannot change. Learn how to work around things you cannot change. You already know this is a sore spot in the relationship. You've agreed to disagree. Work around those things and do what... I mean, what is it saying about you? You really expect for everybody to agree with you? Seriously, what... There's that narcissism again. I guarantee you look up the characteristics of a narcissist. I've went over four of them right now. Why would you even think that everybody should disagree with you or to agree with you? And you're going to have things like that in relationship. You're going to have things like that in marriage. There's certain things that, you know, in Taffy's, in our marriage, we've had to put on the shelf. And it's okay to put them on the shelf. And they may stay on the shelf for a little bit. But I've recognized some of the things she put on the shelf, I was able to take them down. Like, I see, you were right. And I take some, I see that now. And what you recognize is the changes that have taken place in you individually and how God has begun to work on the inside of you. You know, let me just step into the side for a moment. I was praying this past week, and I was asking the Lord, I said, you know, in our church services, Lord, I thank you for signs and wonders and miracles and had been saying that for some while. And then I kind of paused and I said, well, Lord, you know, tell me, what do we need to do for, you know, for the signs and miracles and see some of the things we used to see? And I didn't hear anything. And then when I got completely quiet and went on to something else, God says, you keep trying to find the steps that will produce signs, wonders, and miracles. And do you not yet understand that all of that comes through the relationship? He said, it is the essence of your relationship with me that will cause these things to follow you. You don't have to fulfill some quota to get it. Just continue to know me. Isn't that good? And you know, when something like that is spoken to you, you know you're not smart enough to get that. And that really, really, really blessed me. And so let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 in the NLT talks about two women here. And I just want you to see how Paul was pretty intense about them resolving their issue. He said, and now I appeal to you, Euoda and Senichi, says, please, because you belong to the Lord, would you please settle your disagreement? And I ask you, my true partners, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers. Look at Paul's situation here. He says, you guys have done too much to allow this disagreement to remain. So as friends, could you please settle your disagreement? And I'm asking you, as members of World Changers, I'm asking you as a part of the World Changers Nation, I'm asking members and partners everywhere, and you know people that are part of us, settle your disagreement. Settle the disagreement. Don't let the disagreement go on. Do you understand the devil loves riding the wave of unsettled disagreements? Settle that disagreement and go do it. Now look at this, Ephesians 4, 15 and 25 in the NLT. Ephesians 4. Verse 15 and then verse 25 in the NLT. I mean, Paul is very serious about not allowing these deadlocks to remain, breaking deadlocks. And in verse 15, he said, instead, here's what we're going to do. Instead of the silent treatment, we will speak the truth in love. I mean, who do you think you are not to speak the truth in love when you know it needs to be spoken? You know, the first part of this series, I talked about how important it was in friendships for somebody to speak the truth. You can speak the truth arrogantly. You can speak the truth in a mean way. You can speak the truth in a hurtful way. But the truth spoken in love is going to bring about great deliverance. What did he say? He says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Growing in every way more and more like Christ. Some people are not interested in good character. Some people are not interested in changing here. We want everything else to change, but here. And all of us have got to be committed to this transformation to line up with God's word where godly friendships are concerned. Growing in every way more and more and do it like Christ, who is the head of his body, who is the head of church. And then look at verse 25, what he says here. He says, so stop telling lies. You know, this is the same context where he says, if you see something, speak the truth in love. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all parts of the same body. That's strong. There's power. You're seeing all of these scriptures where he's talking about relationships. He's talking about how we ought to behave in the house of God and as part of one another. So the process of breaking the silent treatment involves talking and dialogue. It involves talking and dialogue. So, you know, I understand that you might need to take some time together to kind of get yourself together. But for 2 years, that's too long. Don't do that. As soon as you can resolve it, the sooner you can be a blessing. Relationships are a blessing. I like what Bishop Fuller says, everything travels at the speed of relationships. And we have got to learn how to do that as Christian people. We got to learn how to do that. And the world begins to look at you. When people go through the traumatic things that they've gone through 2020 and these last few months, people are ready to hear inspiring, good stuff that's going to make their lives better. And guess who God's going to use? He's going to use you. That's where this revival is going to come from. It's not going to come from the pulpit. It's going to come from all of you who know Jesus and all of you who know about relationships and understand what I'm saying. And then you begin to apply these things. Man, people are going to get born again. They're going to be getting saved. Y'all going to be at lunch leading people to Christ. All kinds of stuff's going to happen because of the simplicity of the gospel. And we're not using Christianese. And don't nobody know what you're talking about. And jerking and jiggling in front of unbelievers who don't know what's going on. Don't sit there at the table and like, you know, how you doing? You're going to scare somebody. They're not going to eat with you no more. Stop it. You're going to say, let us pray over our food at lunch. It's a demon. You got to stop that. The only reason you're laughing is because you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's an experience in your mind that you understand. All right, number six. Number six, we've got a few minutes to go. All right. If you want to deal with conflict in relationship, you've got to learn how to, this is a big one, manage your emotions. You got to learn how to manage your emotions. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 in the NLT. You've got to learn how to manage your emotions. Now listen to me carefully. You manage your emotions. And I mean, when you hear this, it sounds good, but see, this is the difference between going deeper in God's word versus just getting it from a therapeutic perspective. How do I manage my emotions? By managing the way I think. If you learn how to manage your thinking, you will learn how to manage your emotions. Now, why do I say that? Well, let me take you back to, you know, the steps of anatomy. I call it life anatomy. And it is understanding how things work and why things work that way. Everything starts with the influence. Everything starts with what goes through your eyes and your ears and coming out of your mouth. Everything starts with what you are around. Everything starts with where you spend your time the most, okay? All right, so where you spend your time the most will impact you. It will influence you. So those influences will come in, and whatever you're watching, whatever you're listening to the most, whatever is part of your life, whatever is feeding you your life, will determine the way you think. So those influences will determine the way you think. All right, now you ask yourself, why am I thinking about what I'm thinking about? It's because of what you've been around, your influences. And Christian people still don't believe that. You think that you can continue to be the Christian that the Bible tells you about and not hang around those things that will make you that way. And that's not how that works. Are you understanding? That's not how it works. So what are you hanging around determines how you think. All right? How you think, watch this, determines how you feel. So if you feel depressed, you go back and you ask yourself, what am I thinking about? Because how I'm thinking is determined how I'm feeling. Notice, I am managing those feelings of depression by knowing immediately to go and look at how I've been managing what I've been thinking by going back and look at what have I been around. Maybe it's too much news coming in every day. Maybe it's that phone call that always seems to bring you down. If you'll manage the way you think, you can manage the way you feel. And notice, if you're going to be successful in managing your feelings and managing the way you think, you've got to manage those influences that are around you. You cannot allow everybody's drama to become yours. You cannot. Remember what I said? Your peace is your most valuable asset. Don't spend your peace on other people's drama. You should not be getting in debt to other people's drama and then using your peace to try to pay it off. Don't do that. You should not do that. And so it's a matter of what are you hanging around? Maybe, you know, the Bible tells us to be careful about who we choose to hang around because they might corrupt good manners. And for some of us, listen to me now. Don't stop the stream. Stay there. Listen to me now. For some of us, we'll get a big change in our thinking if we get some new friends. Some of y'all got some toxic relationships. You're still in a relationship that deals with taking advantage of you more than giving you the advantage. And when you're around people that all they do is want to take the advantage, but they never give the advantage, that is a toxic relationship, and that's going to begin to influence your thinking, which is going to begin to influence how you feel. Now, I don't care how fine the woman is. If she's toxic, you're going to kill yourself at the end of this thing. You can stop. I don't care how fine the guy you think is. If it's toxic, I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing? You understand? Don't do that. Don't allow yourself to continue in a toxic relationship. Don't allow yourself to continue to be devalued. Don't allow yourself to continue to be treated just terrible. You know, somebody says, well, what about agape love? Some people, you gotta learn how to love at a distance. You gotta do some social distancing loving. Some of these people need some social distancing loving. And not the new social distancing. They need the full 6 feet. Or 60 miles, you know. When it's toxic, you'll never sell your forgiveness, but you got to be smart enough to adjust those influences that are causing you to mismanage the way you think. You got to be smart enough to know that when you mismanage the way you think, you're going to mismanage your emotions. And guess what happens when you don't manage your emotions right? You will now mismanage your decisions. Influences produce the way you think. The way you think produces the way you feel. The way you feel produces the decisions you make. Then those decisions will produce the actions you take. Those actions will create habits. So you'll create the habit, and then the habit creates you. Those habits will create the character you have, and you cannot go above the character you possess. And that character will bring you to your destiny in life. And you are where you are because you couldn't manage the influences, wouldn't manage the way you felt, and did not manage your emotions. And your emotions will take you to the places where you'll end up in life, ultimately. And I say this to people, I've been saying it for a while, and they just, oh, well. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He gets paid 7 figures, so whatever. You know, people don't even get married for love anymore. They get married for what you can do for me. I ain't got to love you just as long as you make that deposit every month. That's how crazy the world is right now. And God's depending on us to give a better illustration and example of how this thing should be. There are consequences for making decisions to live that way. You don't just decide to live that way without any consequences. And yet we're expecting, oh, this is good, Lord. Thank you for that. We love the results of investments. But sometimes people won't make the investments. Yeah, I want the results of it, but you got to make some investments. You got to make the right investments. And you make investments in life and in people and in relationships. Amen. Let's look at the scripture. Ephesians 4:31, he just tells us in these two verses, he says, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of the rage, get rid of the anger, get rid of the harsh words, get rid of the slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Well, that's not going to happen if you don't become a better manager of the things that are influencing you. Not going to happen if you don't become a better manager of your thinking. He says, instead, be kind to each other, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. We can't continue to be ignorant on how to live right, how to behave right, how to act right, and how to have the right character. Well, people work so hard to try to be just like the world. They don't understand that the better of all of that is what Jesus has given us. Last one. Okay. If we want to deal with the conflict in relationships, don't forget about prayer. We're talking about godly relationships. Don't forget about prayer. It helps in building relationships. Prayer helps in building relationships. Let me show you these scriptures. Look at Philippians 1, 9 in the Amplified. Philippians 1 and 9 in the Amplified. We have so much that's been given to us by God. And sometimes when we really need it, we don't even use it. We let it slip. Prayer helps relationships. Philippians 1, 9 in the Amplified says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. Pray that. Pray that. When was the last time? You know, in a marriage, when was the last time you prayed and said, Lord, help me to love my mate better than what I love them? In a friendship, Lord, help me to walk in better agape love and help me not to consider myself. Help me to do things to give them the advantage and not me. I mean, you're sitting there, you're examining yourself and you recognize you never do anything for this person. You never, and then you're just like, Lord, help me to change that. When was the last time you prayed? Prayer will help cultivate better relationships. It's a tool we can use. You don't just have to sit there and watch great friendships just crumble. You don't have to sit there and watch amazing marriages, you know, end up in divorce. We have the power of prayer. And prayer gives heaven consent to move in on that relationship. Look what he says here in Matthew chapter 5:44 in the King James. Matthew 5:44 in the King James. Prayer helps build relationships. Man, and I know all of us have. We've been in situations where there was conflict in that relationship. And honestly, you're like, I don't really know at this moment what I need to do. Tell you what, it would be real cool if you went before God and said, God help. God help. I don't feel good about what I did. I don't feel good about what I said. I don't even know how this thing's gonna be repaired. But I need you. Help. And God will come in and do some real supernatural things. And you're like, well, I didn't do that. I know that's Him.
Do you want relationships that won't crumble and can get through the difficult times in life? In volume one of his life-altering series, Grace-Based Relationships, Creflo Dollar takes you on a journey to discover the key relationships that matter most, the foundation for successful relationships, and how to see God's favor on your relationships.
Choose your friends carefully. Choose a friend that will help you grow in your relationship with Christ. To be a good friend, it starts with a good friendship with Jesus. It's important that the people you choose to be friends with make Jesus their first priority. The three or four friends you hang around will have the potential of enhancing your relationship with Jesus or corrupting your good habits.
All four insightful messages of Grace-Based Relationships, Volume 1, can change your life today for a love gift of only $25 or more, plus shipping and handling. Go to CrefloDollarMinistries.org and click eStore or call the number on your screen to grab yours today. Download and stay connected with the Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar. Keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind with these powerful and uplifting messages.
Whether you're in the living room, the bedroom, the car, the garage, I just pray the presence of God will just sit down on you right now. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
With each message that you download and stream, you gain revelation of the fullness of God's grace.
It's your season. This is your moment. This is your time. You're going to bring forth. You're going to grow. You're going to flourish.
The Changing Your World podcast brings you life-changing wisdom right at your fingertips, no matter where you are. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
We want to be sure we are living according to what God has taught us about giving. And we understand that giving and receiving is a spiritual law. It's a reflex of God's love. And I'm so glad that Taff and I begin to understand how to walk in this principle. But we give not out of necessity. We give out of a cheerful heart. We give because we're grateful and we're thankful to what God has done. You know, I want you to pray about becoming a giver into Creflo Dollar Ministries today. And if this ministry has blessed you in any way, consider sowing a seed of any amount, and we will greatly appreciate it. Thank you in advance for your support, and God bless you.
Your financial donations into this ministry work all over the world to change countless lives. If you'd like to support our efforts to save the lost, you may call in or visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org today. God bless you.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.